Hello and welcome back to Sharp Scratch. You're listening to episode 112, Parenting at Medical School. This is a podcast brought to you by the BMJ, where medical students, junior doctors, and expert guests come together and discuss all the things you need to know to be a good doctor, but that you might not get taught at medical school. I'm Eva, and this year I'm working at the BMJ as the editorial scholar, looking after all the content that BMJ student will be producing. I'm also a medical student at Lancaster University, taking some time out of my studies between my third and fourth years. Today, we're joined by our panellists, Maz and Judy. Would you like to introduce yourselves?
Hi, hello, my name is Judy. I'm a fourth year medical student studying in Poland.
Hi, I'm Maz. I'm a fourth year medical student and I have a 19-month-old son.
We also have a guest panellist joining us today.
Yeah, so I'm Luke. I'm a Foundation Year 2 doctor based in Surrey. I have a three-year-old boy. So yeah, hopefully I can bring some kind of perspective as also being a father as opposed to a mother. I think that's also an important thing that we can probably talk about today.
I'm so excited to have you all with us today. So both medical school and parenting are two very different, very difficult, each very noble jobs. I thought in today's episode we could shed some light on the experiences of those of us who parent while at medical school. What's it like? What things make it easier or more difficult? And what can we as fellow medical students, friends and colleagues do to help? Maz, tell us a little about your experiences of parenting as a medical student, or maybe of studying medicine as a parent.
I think, I don't know if other parents experience this, but sometimes you almost forget a lot of the life that you had before you became a parent. It's strange to think back to how seemingly, with the benefit of hindsight, straightforward things were before you have a child. I think one of the things that I've had to learn fairly quickly is that parenting at medical school, you have to advocate for yourself and advocate for yourself hard. Nobody's going to do it for you. And I came from a background, I worked in recruitment for Tesco for 5 years. And even back then, they had an amazing maternity policy. You could take a full year off and guarantee your job at the end of it, and you would be paid full pay for 6 months, half pay for 6 months, and there were all sorts of protections for pregnant people, parents. Even now, in any job, you get 4 weeks parental leave for any reason in a year, up to 18 weeks until your child is 18. So there's all sorts of protections. I think I was quite naive when I realised that those same protections don't necessarily exist at medical school. So you are pretty much at the whim of whoever you're speaking to. And because it's not a very common experience, there is more of a sense of people kind of, you know, I don't want to say making it up as they go along, but you kind of, I've had situations where I've had a need that isn't being met. And so I've just had to speak to various people until I find the person that's going to tell me yes, as opposed to there actually being something written in the university law, whatever you want to call it, that says, okay, under circumstance A, we do X, under circumstance B, we do Y. So that's one of the things that personally I found quite challenging and quite different from the time before that I did have a baby.
Luke, does any of what Maz has just described resonate with you at all?
I think very much so. I think, you know, I wasn't employed before I went to medical school, so I don't really have true experience of kind of the legal kind of employment aspect of things like leave and finances. I know as much as that there are a couple of different types of things that people have access to in terms of, like, I think it's maternity allowance and statutory maternity pay. And I know that there are different things, but that difference wasn't something that I was really aware of, and what makes you eligible for one and not the other. I know at medical school, it's obviously, we're not being employed, we're not being paid in the same way. And if I'm being honest, probably somewhat naive of me. As a father, it probably didn't affect me in the same way that it would do a mother at medical school. I obviously was entitled to certain things as a father, but obviously not in the same way of the financial aspect. Having said that, you know, having a child at medical school for me was something that I actually felt fairly well supported by the university. Again, I think that's probably partly because I was a father, not a mother. And yeah, overall, mine was fairly positive.
It's quite interesting to me to hear like the range. And I suppose it's so true that there, like, no two experiences will be the same, like even the differences in being a mother at medical school versus being a father, but also how varying experiences can be even between different medical schools, different stages within medical school. Look, your son being three now, that makes him a COVID baby. So even the influence of, like, I guess, virtual teaching and things, is that something that you had ever thought about, Judy, as a fellow non-parent at medical school?
Well, I think when Maz was talking and talking about sort of approaching different people and asking and sort of being met with like a different responses, I've got some friends that have kids in medical school at the moment, and I find that that's very much the case, and like that's kind of what they would complain about and like tell me about. Although our university, they have internal regulations, like exceptions and like things that they can do for students who've got like young kids and who are pregnant, a lot of students still find that it's quite difficult to speak with professors because sometimes they're faced with a little bit of like judgment, because the professors would like say to them like, oh well, you didn't come to me on time, or like, oh, the semester's already started. And like, even though there are like regulations in place, it just kind of like, it's very dependent on who you're speaking like to. And with my university, because a lot of my friends are international students as well, there are like situations where like their families are still at home and then they're kind of on their own here. Or I had a friend whose family moved to Poland as well to be closer to her. So I think the experience is definitely one that I kind of like, I really admire, because it's like, I'm thinking to myself, like, I find medical school very hard, and then like I'm on my own, but then I'm like, there's someone else that has like an extra like amount of responsibility, and they're getting on so well, and they're like working really hard in their classes. And like, when I do speak to them, they talk about how supportive their partners are, and like, I really kind of coming from a like a background of sort of in my culture, women are like kind of supposed to do most of the stuff when it comes to like childbearing and like childcare. So kind of like speaking to women whose partners are like amazingly supportive and like very like, you know, hands-on, I'm just like, wow, like I really hope that this is me in the future.
Judy described there like her friends who are parents at medical school. Maz or Luke, I just kind of wanted to ask if either of you had any friends or like colleagues when you were at medical school who were parents at the same time you guys were.
One thing I'd say is my little boy was born sort of pretty much halfway through my medical school journey. So I'm a graduate entry medical student, and he was born like right at the end of like my second year. And what was quite weird is I remember specifically kind of my preclinical years, and I definitely encountered parents when I wasn't a parent, and definitely encountered situations where they were struggling, as Maz mentioned before, having to kind of fight for themselves. I remember it often would focus around kind of last minute alterations to timetables. Again, more specifically with preclinical years, because that was more lecture and seminar and skills based and things like that. But I remember very often we'd get very last minute timetables, very last minute rotas, and it was just, all I remember hearing was it was obviously incredibly difficult to try and arrange childcare when you don't know when you're meant to be in, when things get cancelled and swapped and altered last minute. And they didn't seem very reactive to that, in terms of there wasn't anything that was done about how last minute it was. It was just, yeah, that's that.
Yeah, and I find that kind of speaks to my experience as well. in a kind of similar but different way. I mean, one of the things that I asked for when returning to placement was that I might be able to do compressed hours. So my uni does placement Monday, Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. We don't go in on a Wednesday. Because I'm a student and my husband works, we don't qualify for any financial support with childcare whatsoever. So we have to pay for it out of our own pockets. And my argument was that if we could just drop one of those days per week paying for childcare, that would really help us out. And the drama that this caused was like I was asking for the earth. And I eventually did manage to get the agreement was that I would go in on 3 days a week, but I'd be there for slightly longer each day. So it would make up for the time that I was missing. Even so, when I spoke to staff on the wards, other doctors, nurses, consultants, over and over again, I must have heard about 30 times, wow, I've never met a part-time medical student before. Oh my goodness, I've never met a part-time medical student before. And I was like, well, A, technically I'm not part-time because I'm still doing my hours. And B, like, isn't that sad that we're not, that people are so shocked by any flexibility in the medical student schedule? On the one hand, we're trying to increase diversity in medicine, make doctors better represent the communities they serve, encourage people from all walks of life to come into medicine. And on the other, I'm somebody who's asked for a relatively minor adjustment in my placement schedule, and I'm just being met with shock that that's even been allowed. So yeah, I thought that was really interesting.
I think that inflexibility that you've touched on there, Maz, is so interesting. And I think we should definitely discuss that in a lot more detail, but that will be right after this break. Right before the break, we were talking a little bit about the experiences that Maz and Luke have had parenting at medical school. Maz touched on the inflexibility of her university course when she asked to change her placement days. Luke touched upon the inflexibility of preclinical years with last minute timetable changes. And last year, BMJ student published an opinion piece from two medical students in America that discussed these very issues and how medical schools can better support their students throughout pregnancy and parenthood. In this article, they discuss the very real problems that trainees face taking a leave of absence to care for their newborns, from finances to disadvantages on residency applications and to the vague, often unclear guidance offered by institutions regarding parental leave. Maz, I was going to ask if any of this resonates with you, but I feel from our conversation earlier that it might.
Yeah. Definitely. Yeah, the vagueness is the thing, right? Like, just to throw another example out there. So when I was pregnant, it was the end of COVID and my baby was born in August. So my plan was I was going to finish fourth year, then take a full year off summer to summer and then come back for fifth year. And I was told about a week before I was about to start my final rotation, oh no, because you're pregnant, you can't go back on the wards because of COVID. So I had to sit at home for the last trimester. And then that meant I had to come back when my son was 8 months old to finish that final rotation and I was still breastfeeding. And when I mentioned to my medical school, oh, I'm breastfeeding, is there going to be any facilities for me to pump at the hospital? It was a lot of kind of like deer in the headlights. Hey, oh, we've never... You know, like, it's a question that I don't think a lot of people had been asked. It was an uncomfortable question for me to have to broach. And eventually, my hospital were great. And I actually ended up pumping in the NICU pumping room. But there's things like that that you don't even think about when you think, okay, having a child at medical school, there are so many things that are just logistical nightmares. And it would be so great, you know, like businesses now have to have breastfeeding rooms. They have to have guidelines for their staff for leave, for short-term absence, for childcare, things like this. And I really think it's crucial that medical schools and trusts kind of step their game up a little bit when it comes to medical students who are requesting fairly basic things that, if you were at a job of work, would not be an outlandish thing to ask for. You're very much in the minority as a parent at medical school, and sometimes it does feel like you're kind of this unwilling trailblazer because you're asking the questions for the first time. And so I take a little bit of solace in the fact that maybe, hopefully, that will make it easier for the next person and the next person and the next person who comes along and has to ask those questions. But I find it difficult to reconcile that in a profession such as ours, those things haven't already been thought of, and there doesn't seem to be that empathy for people's situation that you would expect.
Thank you for sharing all of that, Maz. There's just so much. I think as well, something that has just kind of come into mind is, like, I don't know about you guys as medical schools, but we rotate through a few different hospital trusts, and it just seems like you could have all the answers in one trust and then be moved to a totally different one. And look, you're a foundation year two doctor now. So you've done like a lot of rotating in your time. Is that something that you've encountered?
As in difficulty in terms of facing different challenges because you're just moving constantly.
Moving around all the time, yeah.
Sort of. I guess one thing maybe that is definitely important to point out at this point is the fantastic thing about applying to foundation training is that, of course, being a parent, having parental responsibilities is part of the criteria for pre-allocation. So at a time where the foundation allocations are probably, it's very, very topical at the moment because of how ridiculous the new changes are and that people are not very happy with it, which I absolutely resonate with. As a parent, you basically can apply with special circumstances and be pre-allocated to essentially a trust close to where you are. I was fortunate enough to be granted that. However, it's not unheard of for things to go wrong in that process and having to fight for things. I'd say that probably less applies to parents, but other people that satisfy the criteria. So far, so good with me. Foundation year two is in the same place as I did foundation one, and so far I haven't encountered any major issues with rotating through departments. And because you kind of do end up encountering different people from different departments, and they do start to get a grip of who you are. Having said that, that's probably because I'm in the same place. I guess one thing I'd like to also add is about Maz's situation with exactly kind of the configuration of when she was taking her leave. For me, it sounds like that it's such a simple answer. Like, all it needs to be is a discussion. It felt like a decision was made. You were not allowed to come back to the placement because of COVID. Like, as far as I was concerned, from my experience at medical school, especially in COVID, it was very much a risk assessment and a conversation, not just a hard line, this is what we're going to do. Because it sounds like we both have experiences where actually there isn't like official guidance. It's kind of just made up on the spot. And it sounds like that probably is what happened when you weren't allowed to do what you intended to do and finish that year, which would have made so much more sense, but instead created a whole lot of drama even later on.
Yeah, and with the benefit of hindsight, I would have pushed back on that decision. I think, you know, partly being pregnant for the first time, not really understanding that occupational health is more of a recommendation than a command, you know. But yeah, definitely in retrospect, I personally, I'd had my COVID jab. I was aware of the risks, and I feel like they were my risks to take. It's, you know, kind of an aside, but there are a lot of things about being pregnant that take your bodily autonomy, and your body suddenly belongs to somebody else. And everybody's, with the best will in the world, people have really good intentions, but their focus is on the person in you rather than the person standing in front of them. And I think there was a lot of worry about insurance and various things, but yeah, it's nice to hear you say that, because in retrospect, I think I probably would have pushed back a little bit harder on that. But at the same time, it would have been nice if the default was for it to be a shared conversation and shared decision making rather than being told, yeah, this is what we've decided is best for you.
It definitely sounds like that could be something that would make it easier, like as an outsider looking in, like, but it's so obvious. We talk about shared decision making and including people and talking to people rather than at them when we're talking about patients all the time. It just seems like that same guidance isn't followed when we're talking about medical students, and I don't know why that is. I think, Maz, you might have touched on something earlier. Do you feel like medical schools and trusts are kind of like making this guidance up as they go along?
That's a really interesting question. I think they are times, you know, trusts and medical schools are made up of people, right? Individuals. They're not just these big, scary institutions with a hive mind. So I think in one sense, everybody's doing the best they can in the situation with the information they're presented with no prior experience, and everybody's trying to figure out what to do. I know I've mentioned this before, but I think there's a secondary element to this, which is I think that generally throughout medical school and doctor training, I think there is a background atmosphere of you're lucky to be here. There are 100 people who want your place at medical school and you are privileged to be here. So you need to accommodate as much of us as you can. You need to not make too many waves, because as much as, you know, nobody's ever said that to me outright, but I do think there is a culture where as medical students, we, you know, rightly feel very privileged to be in the position we are. So sometimes we don't feel comfortable putting our hand up and saying, you know, I'm not really sure about this. This makes me feel a bit uncomfortable. Or actually, I think I'd expect a bit more, because we have almost had it drummed into us. You know, there's 10 applications for every one place at medical school, and so many people want to do this, and you're lucky to even be here. And as much as we are, I think that creates an environment where we're not necessarily always comfortable to point out the things that we're not too happy with.
Yeah, I definitely would resonate with that. And I think it sounds very difficult, sort of like what you went through in terms of not feeling like met as much as you would have liked with the support. And I think, like, honestly, it sounds really like hard to have like dealt with. And I just wanted to say that, because I think that what you said about medical students sort of having to feel like we should be grateful that we're just even like there is very true. And it definitely is something that is worth sort of talking a little bit more about in terms of like with our medical universities. And what kind of shocks me the most is that, like, with medical school, like with the age group and like the demographics that go to medical school, like, it should be something that they think about. Like, a lot of my classmates are in our early 20s. This, you know, having a family and having children is something that is common, like, at this age group. So it sort of feels like it's something that should be considered when medical schools are having conversations about their policies and stuff. So I find it very unusual that it's not really talked about much at all.
Yeah, I feel like, Maz, when you say that, like, that culture of people saying, you know, you're so lucky to be here, like, 10 people would have applied for your one place. Like, there's no recognition that place that you have at medical school was earned. Like, you worked hard, you got into medical school, you did. And that's you, the person. Like, you are a person who has, like, a life and a family outside of medical school. And because you've earned your place, it's like you're nearly owed, like, the life that to be able to live while at medical school. I hope that makes sense, you know? But I just feel like it's that disconnect is not yet recognised. It's like, we've picked you, so now we're going to mould you into our ideal of a doctor. And parenting deviates from that, so it's not our problem. It's kind of the vibe I'm getting.
There is. I mean, not just parenting. There are lots of things. I'm sure everybody here has experienced things that deviate from being the stereotypical perfect medical student and feeling that way. Like, you know, Judy said, as a non-parent, she can resonate with that. We're all imperfect. We all have our own needs, and we can't all go on the ideal conveyor belt as much as we'd like to. Parenting's just feels like a slightly more intrusive deviation than some of the others, I think. But yeah, I think a lot of people can probably resonate with what you said.
Yeah, look, what do you make of all of this?
I think it's a bit of a sentiment that actually goes not just about parenting. I think the reason why Judith was able to resonate with it is because it's a sentiment that actually applies to so many other things. We're kind of, as Maz alluded to, we kind of have this inherent knowledge that we are in an incredibly privileged position as a medical student. We've got in the door. We're going on our route through medical school. We're going to hopefully one day be a doctor. We'll hopefully get there. And so at many stages throughout that journey, I think we sometimes shy away from moments where maybe we feel like we could have spoken out. And I think whether that's because you feel like something's happened that's unfair, whether that's as a foundation year one doctor where you feel like the rote is horrible and that there have been moments where there's been unsafe staffing, there's so many sort of aspects to medical school and medicine as a whole where we feel like, or at least I feel like, and maybe others do too, that because we know that there is an inherent privileged position that we're sat in, that we don't necessarily have the right to speak out about it. And I think it's difficult because that barrier is what is the barrier to us speaking out about feeling unjust things are happening around us, like not being allowed to continue placement, like not being given the proper support. And it is obviously massively applicable to the parenting at medical school, but it's also to pretty much everything else.
So this has been a great chat, and I'm really keen to kind of learn a bit more about what I can do and how I can, like, I guess actively, consciously think about you guys' experiences going forward in medical school. But that will be right after this break. Before the break, we talked about various systematic and institutional parts of medicine that have kind of made you guys' experiences, and I include Judy in that, a little bit more difficult than they needed to be. I think as someone who isn't a parent, I've been super naive to, like, the influence of parenting on your medical school journey and how it kind of plays into those factors that do affect us all. I guess I just wanted to know if there is anything, Maz and Luke, that you guys want or wished your peers kind of should know or did know about being a parent at medical school.
Can I pick on you, Judith, in the nicest way possible? You said something I think really poignant before we actually started properly recording, and you said you weren't sure about what to say and what questions to ask. And I think that's the most beautiful kind of view to have, is you don't have to ask the right questions. You don't have to know everything. I think just having the recognition that there might be different challenges that we as parents face is pretty much all we could ever expect. And to kind of ask the questions and figure out if there's any way that you could possibly support us. You might not be able to do in the most robust sense, but, you know, if you're asking us, you know, is everything all right? You know, and I noticed you were late, or, I noticed this or that the medical school have said about that placements can't continue, or it doesn't really matter what the subject is. If you're asking questions, if you're being aware and trying to recognise that we're struggling or that we're not struggling, that we're thriving, that's all we can ever ask for.
Yeah, definitely. I would agree. I think, I think it's definitely a thing about, like, speaking to people and understanding what their own experiences are like. So I definitely agree. For me, when I meet other students who have kids, it's usually like they would like mention it in conversation. So then I feel a lot more comfortable talking a bit about it. But when it's like people I don't really know that well, I'm kind of like shy to like, you know, like ask too many questions or like to, you know, because it is something that is like a bit, I think, personal, like your family life and stuff like that. And sometimes not everyone wants to share that with kind of like a stranger or just a classmate. So I do like sort of wait until someone like brings up like their kid, and then I'm like, oh, like you have a son or you have a daughter. And then I'm like interested in how they're like finding the university experience. And that's when I do realize that there's like such a difference in terms of like the experience and like the way that they are navigating things. Like sometimes I completely forget, and like I have my friends tell me, oh, I'm traveling back this weekend or like next weekend, and I'm like, oh really? And it's like, oh yes, you're going to see your family. And sometimes I feel like it's something that I kind of like take for granted, and I don't think much like about. But it is definitely something that I think like if other medical students knew about, there would be more of like support in terms of like from your peers. And like even with like what you were saying, Maz, about like going to professors and sort of like hoping you find the right one, I feel like if the entire student body is like pushing for answers or like pushing to like find out like what does the university do for us in this regard, there it would be like, it's better to have like a unified voice than kind of like students who are going like individually, or, you know, sort of like not feeling as backed up by the like student body as they would need to be.
Yeah, that's really interesting you say that, because I was just thinking as you were talking that when I first started medical school, I did not know that I would become a parent during medical school. And so all of those things didn't really occur to me. And I wasn't interested whether my school had a maternity policy, policies for parents, anything like that. But in reality, people do become parents at medical school. And regardless of whether that is you or could be you or might be you, it's still in the benefit of everybody for those questions to be answered and to have clear policies in place, because it makes a more cohesive working environment. And in terms of, I mean, I personally love talking about my son. I can't shut up about him. He's the best. And so, you know, I would want people to know that when somebody does have a child, they're the same but different. So you can still ask them the questions you would have done before and ask them about their child if you have that kind of relationship with them. And like Luke said, just have that open dialogue about, hey, how's it going? I noticed X, Y, Z. Is everything okay? Is there anything I can do? And yeah, I think just treat us as people first, parents second, maybe. I think that's about it, really. I don't think there's a huge amount that I would change about the way that my friends and colleagues at medical school have treated me. I think everybody's been, you know, really open, friendly, and there are people who had children before I did on the course.
Thank you for sharing all of that with us, everyone. I really do appreciate hearing all of your stories. I do genuinely find that very helpful. And just, I guess, one final thought before we wrap up the podcast. Is there any advice you guys have for, say, either parents planning to go to medical school or medics planning a family?
Probably do a bit more research than I did, just in terms of like the practicalities, the financial bits, the standpoint in terms of like placements and things like that. I guess it's the same as everything, trying to go in with maybe a bit more open eyes than maybe I did. But that, having said that, if things do come as a surprise, and who cares? Like, just have that open conversation with your university and hope that they also are happy to have open conversations about things. And if they're not, and if they're not supporting you, then go higher, ask people for help.
Yeah, from my point of view, the number one thing I wish I'd known going in is that I would not be eligible for any financial support. If both my husband and I were working, then we would be eligible for the free 30 free childcare hours that are coming in in September, but because my husband works and I'm a student, we are only eligible for support if our household income is less than £19,000 a year. So if you earn £19,500 or above, you have to find all of your childcare costs out of your own pocket. And so my student loan has essentially gone from my bank account into my childminder's bank account. And, you know, it's a tough conversation to have. People don't like talking about money. But from my perspective, if you have young children that need childcare, then that has been the number one obstacle, I would say, that we faced in having children at medical school. And it's something that I wish I hadn't been so naive about going in.
Thank you so much for sharing. I'm sure I'm not the only one listening who will find all of that really valuable and insightful. So thanks, guys. I do genuinely appreciate all, like, you trusting us with all of that. I think that is all we have time for today. So thank you so much to our panelists for joining us, and thanks to everyone listening at home. If you like our show, I would love it if you could support us by leaving a review wherever you get your podcasts, or by sharing it with the people that you know. Tell your friends about it. That really helps people to find the show. Please do keep in touch. I would love to hear your thoughts on the show, especially if you have any experiences of parenting at medical school or know anyone who does. You can find us on social media. We are BMJ Student on Twitter, X and Instagram. If you would like to hear other episodes, please do subscribe to Sharp Scratch wherever you get your podcasts. And in 2 weeks' time, you'll be notified of our next episode. Until then, it's goodbye from us.